to preach. Give us hearts to receive and willingness to apply. Thank you, Lord. I'd like to share with you on a theme that the Holy Spirit has been addressing to me. The cost of discipleship. The cost of discipleship. And I have here as a sub-theme, church member or disciples of Christ. Church member or disciples of Christ. Hallelujah. So I want to explore this to find out where we stand. Hallelujah. In relation to this truth today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And whether or not I finish, I'll give this note to somebody today. So if I don't finish, you can go home and you can benefit your soul from this. So when you hear me preaching again, you know, something like a steel news to you. You might just, this one finger go up against a nose. Out of the person saying, me. You're not too sure if that's being said. I'm not so good in reading sign language. But I thank God for His word. Hallelujah. And so we want to go into the word right now and learn as much as we can. And as a text for reading, it said Matthew chapter 16, from verse 24 through to verse 27. And I'll read quickly. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." St. Matthew 16, 24 through 27. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The church community is comprised of all types of people and personalities. Some are in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and some are in love with the world. Some are committed to the full purpose of God in the earth and some are just in attendance to see what kind of fix they might receive. Some are prepared to live in accordance to the word of God, while some live by the impulses of the flesh. Some are disciples of Christ, and some are mere spectators in worship service of the Lord, seeking to fulfill an agenda that is in utter conflict with the revealed will and purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many individuals come to church for reasons other than to worship in the presence of the Lord God and to fellowship with the holy brethren. Some of the reasons some people come into the presence of, into church are outlined in Scripture. And I'd like to present five of them to us. The first one we find in Matthew 7, 15 through 20. We are judges today. We are being called upon to judge our own selves. Who are we? Disciples of Christ? Are members of New Testament Church of God. Matthew 7, 15 to 20, and I read. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thornberries or thorn bushes, or figs from the thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit." Hallelujah to God. "But a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." That's talking about the destiny of the bad tree. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Some come and pretend to be messengers of God so as to disguise their real intention, which is to destroy the flock of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the reasons why some people come to church. They come because they are of another persuasion, not of the kingdom of God. And as a consequence, if you listen carefully to their message, you will recognize that it has nothing at all to do with the kingdom of God. Their message might be quite flowery, having a form of godliness, but there is no power for the transformation of life. Their language might be quite colorful and so beautifully constructed according to the principles governing in the English language and sentence construction and dictions and enunciations and pronunciations and all the Asians. But the message is a message to kill. The intention is cruel. But that is just used as a camouflage to disguise. And sometimes because we are so welcoming, if we like, and not discernful, we are likely to be exposed to the tyranny of the wicked. Number two, we go to Matthew 13. Twenty-four through thirty, and thirty-six through forty-three. Another parable he put before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away." Let us go to 36. You can read the other aspect of this parable. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him saying, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." And he said to them, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. Some seek to build, rather, some are planted by the devil as agents of death to sabotage and hijack the purpose unto which we have been called by God. A minister friend of mine shared with me that on a particular district committee, one particular minister tears down everything and he never has a suggestion. Every vision plan put forward is faulty in his eyes, but he has none to replace them. And sometimes we wonder the kind of a commitment and kind of an input that many fail to offer regarding the movement of the work of God as the Spirit of God shall direct our lives. Jesus said in this scripture that Satan deliberately planned some. And his purpose for doing this is to sabotage the work. Sambalat trying to get in on the business. Because his real motive is to prevent you from reaching your destiny in God. His real destiny is to prevent you from thriving in the things of God. I know of a particular minister who, I'm told, when one of the church brethren came and said, "Pastor, the Lord has blessed us with a new house. So we're no longer living in rented accommodation." Her comments were, "Who authorized you to go and buy a house? Did God tell you to go and buy a house?" Because she had a policy whereby she extracts wealth from the brethren. And she's always boasting about her mansion that she was able to obtain within a particular community that many, that few black people live. But that person had no ambition for the brethren that were members of the congregation that they pastor. And she scolded the people because they testified that God blessed them with a house. And it caused me to think about those whom the devil established within the church to block the progress of the children of God and to sabotage their development in the things of God. Yes! Mr. The devil sent some men and women to hijack you and to rob you of your rich destiny in God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh Lord Jesus. And so you have some men come round the mouth full of flowers. And if you're not careful, they hijack you and rob your salvation and rob your blessing and rob your joy and rob your self-esteem and left you trampled. Hallelujah to God. So there are many reasons why many people come to church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know of a young woman in the Caribbean. She met this man in the police force. And it seemed as if he was going somewhere. Come to church and nobody in the pan fire like him. God is a part of the class system when you are in the pan. And oh, he's so full of fire. He's so consecrated. He's always on time. But he had an ulterior motive. It wasn't about God. And it so happened that he made a proposal. And the officers of the church prayed with her about it and said, "No, God will." I said, "Hey, you're not jealous of me. Because he's going somewhere high up in the police force. I almost reached top. Jealous of me because I'm going somewhere. I'm going to big banquet. And big ceremony and big this and big that. You covet me." And she went and married him anyhow. Lord have mercy. The man backslid the day after the wedding. Because I'm theme wife now. A theme wife. And her life has been one misery. She gets a policeman. But she was under arrest. Put her under arrest. And sentenced her to a life of misery and war. There are many creeping in the church. Unawares. Paul in Acts 20, verse 29 through 30, that's the third one. He said, "Some going to arise from among you to break away some unto themselves." That's why some come to church. Because they have their own empire to build. And the best way to build it is to get on the inside and to bewitch and sabotage others. Some have gone to many brethren homes and saying, "Come with us." Some have said, "We are good preachers, we are good pastors, we are ministers too. If you have any problem, come and talk to me." And one sister said, "But I have my own pastor. I have my own pastor. And if I have a problem, I can go and talk to him." Hallelujah. Some come so that they may gain the confidence of morally weak women and obtain entrance into their homes, that they might make them captives of all kinds of sinful lusts. 2 Timothy 3 verse 6. Some unsuspecting women, men, pry out among the church. Women who are not so stable in themselves, who are very weak in themselves, having problems with sexual issues. And so these men prey on them and bring them into captivity. It's in the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Their intention, they want to come to counsel. But my God, for crying out loud, look how many sisters here we have in the church. If you have a problem, we can make a recommendation. Hallelujah. And they always want to come to your house and come late at night. Are you a single woman? Sorry, let me just talk around, yeah? Because we now put up with it. Hallelujah. Sisters, any brother, I call yours late at night. I want to know about it. Tell them so you go and tell me. No matter who them be. Because it's not happening in Christendom. The Lord gave His life for your souls. Glory to God. And God forbid that we should sit on the fence and play nicey-nicey so that the dragon from hell can come in and steal and destroy your souls. God forbid. God forbid. I said the Lord, God forbid. The fifth one comes to us from Jude 4, 12 through 13. I call it the whole of Jude. They all come to corrupt the grace of God and to lure unsuspecting brethren into lasciviousness, life of sin, exploring sexuality, and different kinds of immorality. Turning people away from the truth of the gospel of the kingdom. They pretend to be nice. That's why we must be so full of the Holy Spirit that we can discern character and spirit. The scripture says, try the spirit whether or not it is of God. And if we hear somebody say, Jesus, we jump off of the balcony to embrace them. We jump off of the balcony to embrace them. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be friendly, but we should be wise. The Lord said we should be wise. Discerning spirits. Hallelujah. But if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, how are we going to discern spirit? How are we going to dissect and know what kind of person is standing before me? What kind of person is talking to me? Oh, Lord Jesus. And the language that comes out at times betray them. But sometimes we hear the language and we still go with it. Because the scripture says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak forth. Glory to God. And what is inside the man must come out. That is why we know what kind of tree it is depends on the fruit of the beer. Because you never put a coconut from a mango tree. Never. Because the substance inside that mango tree cannot produce coconut. It cannot produce coconut. And sometimes the Lord gives us blatant and clear revelation. But we ignore it. But the scripture said, shun the very appearance of evil. Shun it. Glory to God. Despite the apparent differences among the personalities, the perceptions held, and the respective pursuits in the final analysis, hallelujah, is to destroy people's lives. To destroy the plan of God. And to bring us in a place where, boy, we are destitute. We mess up, we mash up. We throw down, we put down. We don't want to live. Hallelujah to God. So the Lord, I believe today, is challenging us. Are we in this business with Him, or are we seeking for our own? Are we disciples of Jesus Christ? Are we disciples of some other force? Hallelujah. Being a disciple of Christ means much more than coming to church. It means much more than having our name on the church roll. It means much more than wearing long dress and big trousers. It means much more than singing beautiful tenors. It means much more. Oh, glory to God Almighty. One of the costs of discipleship is cross-bearing. Oh, don't think about the cross. I don't want no pain. I don't want no pain. The death of self through a willing commitment to bear one's cross after the example of Jesus Christ is a cost that must be borne by those who desire to become disciples of Jesus Christ. There's no two ways about it. To take up our cross and follow after Jesus Christ, hallelujah, presents to us a process which we must understand to mean, one, the surrendering of our will to God. That's what cross-bearing means. That we surrender our will to God. Only those who have surrendered their personal will to God can pray, Our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Because anywhere self is alive, there is resistance to the kingdom of God. Anywhere self is enthroned, there is resistance to the work of the Holy Spirit. Anywhere self has a position of dominance, it is resisting every single thing that challenges that position of dominance. And if self is enthroned in our hearts, even within our hearts, there is resistance against the power of the Spirit of God. And this is what the cross does. The cross, hallelujah, brings the self to a place of death. The cross is for the purpose of the crucifixion of the self. The crucifixion of the flesh. The death of self, that Jesus Christ may reign and rule supremely on the thrones of our hearts. Hallelujah. And if self is alive, and if self is exalted in our hearts, it means that the power of God has no precedent in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this is what carrying our cross means. Because if our will is going to be dominant, then we cannot pray, let your will be done, Lord. If our human will is the will that is supreme, then we cannot pray. We can recite, yes, but we can't pray, let your will be done, Lord. And I wonder, hallelujah, have we been reciting, let your will be done, Lord? Or have we been genuinely and sincerely desiring that God's absolute perfect will would be manifested in the earth? Glory to God. Because where the will of God is concerned, we cannot dictate how it happened. And this content. We have one responsibility, and that is compliance. Obedience. Nothing else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cross-bearing means the dethronement of self as the dominant force in the lives of individuals and the enthronement of God and Jesus Christ as sovereign Lord and King. Cross-bearing means a mental transition that is evident by a heavenly focus and an undeterred desire to possess the blessings of God. Hallelujah. And to achieve, not just achieve, but to have and to hold the very blessings where the scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so the Apostle Paul said to us in Colossians chapter 3, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affection upon holy things. Glory to God. Are we disciples of Christ? What kind of affections do we have? What kind of desires do we possess? What are we actually seeking for? What are we seeking for? Hallelujah. For many churchgoers, self-confidence, self-reliance, self-pursuits are the dominant character traits. Everything's about self, 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 self. These are the actual defenses of the self-life that resist the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ and prevent Him from becoming our all in all. Because if we're self-confident, then we cannot fully trust Him. If we are self-reliant, no wonder prayer seems to be drying up in churches these days. Because we can rely on ourselves, can't we? I'm strong and I'm able. One German philosopher said that we are in the modern age. We have science. We don't need God. That's where people's minds are. We have science. Why do we need God? I wonder what he's saying now. With science. And the havoc that is reaping upon human lives. Jesus' power and glory cannot be manifested for the benefit of believers where his lordship is not respected and reverenced. Because self and all of its trappings and lustful demands seek to pursue all of its desires without compromise, the lordship of Jesus Christ cannot be manifested. And here the Apostle Paul in Romans 1, 11 through 32, sent us a very strong word. He said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of men. Because when they know the truth, they live not according to the truth. But go through this process of degradation and death and destruction. And scripture has given us some examples of some of these things. In Genesis chapter 19, we find God raining fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Because of their constant resistance against God's glory, against God's presence, against God's power. And electing to live a lifestyle that is completely contrary to God's will and God's purpose. And the whole book of Exodus, or rather the first half of Exodus, 1 through 14, outlined God's dealing with the Egyptians because of their stubborn resistance against God's will. How He brought plagues and destructions and death among them. And we also have example in King Saul in 1 Samuel 15. Because of his continuous rebellion against God, he was rejected from being king over Israel. My brothers and sisters, I'll share a few more points with you. From these scripture references here, we understand that when self is promoted and allowed to reign in the place of God, destruction normally occurs. Self-destruction. Destruction of family, destruction of a whole nation. When self is promoted in the place of God. And in our own lives, we will not escape that judgment either. If the self man is given the right to reign where Jesus Christ must be exalted as Lord. And everything we think of will fail until Jesus Christ is exalted as Lord. And every dream we pursue will end in a mirage until Jesus Christ is exalted as Lord. And every prayer will remain unanswered until Jesus Christ is exalted as Lord. And every sick will remain sick until Jesus Christ is exalted as Lord. Oh, glory to God Almighty. And every problem will remain unsolvable until Jesus Christ is exalted as Lord and God. Hallelujah. Because where He is exalted as Lord, His power, His glory will be manifested. And when God's presence is manifested, there will be a difference. Hallelujah. The presence of God makes the difference. It brings the salvation. It brings the joy. It brings clarity. It brings vision. It brings purpose. It brings enlightenment. It makes plain every crooked path. The presence of God makes the difference. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ must be exalted as Lord. And I'm coming down. Hallelujah. Self-will and self-promotion is detrimental to both individuals and communities. The promotion of self is dangerous because it promotes the following disastrous outcome. Genesis 3 verse 1. And following, and Ephesians 2 and verse 2. It promotes an unsavory and detrimental alliance between human subjects and the devil. When self is exalted, the devil has an opportunity to form alliance with that human person. We find that in Genesis 3. Because Adam and Eve form an alliance with Satan and plan to disobey God. That's exactly what they did. And so they lost their position. They lost their privilege of grace. And they were thrust out of the garden into hard, hazardous places where the Lord said, out of the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread. But till the soil. Me not give no more food. Go work for your own food. That comes about because of disobedience. Ephesians 2 and verse 2 says that the prince of the power of the air exercised dominance and authority over those who practice disobedience. And disobedience to the will of God is a manifestation of the promotion of self. When self is exalted, it brings death and destruction. It brings us into a location where we start mingle with demons. And start give demons right to enter with life. It gives Satan right to walk in and walk out. And mess up and throw down. That's what disobedience does. It brings us into communion with Satan. It means that we and the devil are eating the same something. And we are taught the same things. And we have the same desire. And we're striving for the same things. And we know from scripture that the devil has already lost. So when we join allegiance with him, how do we expect to have a bright future? the promotion of self. It also promotes the expression of unholy affection and embroil the human subject in a disastrous relationship with the world. 1 John 2:15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, because all that is in the world is a lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That all comes to death and destruction. So you find some people that are in the church, but my God, they're highly in the world. This is about a line and they walk like this. Because I don't want both words. I want to be saved, but oh, I just love these things over here. I just love these things. I just love Broad Street. I just can't give it up. You don't know. I just love Broad Street. But I like the narrow road, yes, because the promise is really nice. I like when I come to church and the music, oh man, that heavenly music, it does something for my soul. Yes, but you're still going back to Broad Street. Love not the world. Those in whose life self is lifted up in the place of God, there's an ardent passion for the world, for the things of the world. The world dictates one's agenda. It also brings the human subject under the unrestraining powers of demons. 1 Timothy 4:1 through 5 says, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter days many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So when self is promoted, because you see, the devil not going to tell self something that self don't want to hear. The devil comes with enticement, with alluring spirits to draw you out and to pull you out, to captivate you, to rob your attention, and to bring you out, that they may destroy your life. That's how the devil works. That is exactly how the devil works. James 3:14 through 16 also says that those in whose life self is promoted, there's a particular type of wisdom that is in manifestation. And this wisdom has nothing at all to do with God. He said that this wisdom is sensual. It is worldly. It is demonic. There's no purity in it. Hallelujah. There's no godliness in it. There's no appetite for nobility, for wholesomeness. No. There's no truth in it. It prides in bragging. It is licentious. It is divisive. It is wicked. It don't like unity. So it's always trying to spread propaganda to create disunity. It is malicious. And it is always hearing that somebody say. And it is always repeating what somebody say. Because that wisdom don't learn. Hallelujah. That soft answer turn away wrath and grievous words to anger. It's a kind of wisdom that don't have within its capacity. Hallelujah. That where there is no tailbearer, there is no strife. So this kind of wisdom don't teach us these awesome principles has come to us, hallelujah, in the book of Titus chapter 2, that the grace of God which appeared unto all men has taught us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present evil world. Hallelujah. The grace of God teaches this. The grace of God is not just freedom and liberty to live how we want to live. The grace of God is empowerment to live in accordance to the will and purpose of God. The grace of God is liberty to serve God in righteousness. Not to live any hollow. That is the grace of God to us.
Hallelujah. But have we learned? Have we heeded the message that the grace of God brings to us? Denying ungodly lust, worldliness. Hallelujah. Living soberly. Soberly, not like a drunkard. Not giddy. Not today me up and tomorrow me down. Not today I'm for God and tomorrow I'm not for Him. Not today I speak truth and tomorrow I tell lies. Not today I have a desire and a passion to serve God, but tomorrow, oh boy, I'm not too sure, you know. But I made up mine. And somebody said, comes what may. But when June comes, you can't find them. The Lord wants full commitment. Whatsoever the season. Full commitment whatsoever the season. That's what discipleship is about. Discipleship is not only when there are miracles. When bread is being multiplied and fish is being multiplied. Discipleship is about going through the valley of the shadow of death with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Discipleship is about standing with Him in the marketplace. And even though we are ridiculed, but we stand steadfast and firm. Discipleship is about loyalty to God, whether or not we have bread or we don't have no bread. That's what discipleship to Jesus Christ means. Hallelujah. Whether or not people like us is beside the point. That's what discipleship calls for. The death of self. But you see, self loves to be in everybody's favor. That's why self causes so much trouble. Because self don't have no loyalty. Self had no commitment to anybody but to itself. So anything at all that it's doing for itself. So that's why you can have two masters. Because, hallelujah. So you can have two masters. In God I want your yard, and in God I am. Excuse my expression. And then tell you bad news, and then you hear what I want to say, and then go back over here, so. I passed by Mr. John the other day, you know. Boy, me never know you not like you. You said, you see the trouble start? Me never know but so John not like you, you know. So, and you say, me? Really? I wonder. Have you offended him in some way? I said, no, I've never. I find that strange for him not to like me. I've always liked him. Well, he not like you at all. Now, I don't want to make no mystery of you, but I don't believe that nobody's supposed to say these things about anybody at all. Can you say these things about you and then begin to list them? Plant the seed. And your face says, no, this man must be a loyal man. He said, you know, I just don't like when people talk to people like this, you know. So, I didn't say anything, you know, but I said, no, sir, you have been a good friend to me. I set them and set you up in a trouble, you know. Saying, give me that information now. When I him say when they go to Mr. John house, go call your name. And tell Mr. John story about you. So Mr. John say when he say. And then he bring it back now. And then he pull out. If you know my chap, you have Mr. John meeting at the street and clash. Huh? Self has no loyalty to anybody but itself. It has no concern for anything or anyone but for itself. That's why it can have two masters. It's only a cruel person would desire to have two masters. Because their intention is not honorable. They're very wicked. That is why they want two masters. Because they believe in the blackmail trade. They have no loyalty. But discipleship demands and requires loyalty to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So that's why we can't serve Jesus and serve the world at the same time. Because whether or not the world wants to reject us, Jesus will cut us off. Jesus said, either you are for me or you are against me. He puts the ultimatum down. It's either you want the kingdom of God or you want to stay in the world. It's either you want heaven or you want hell. Make your mind up. Make your mind up. Do you want life or you want death? Make your mind up. Make your mind up. Do you want to come with me or to stay with the world? Make your mind up. But you can't walk the broad road and the narrow road at the same time. Make your mind up. How long halt he betwixt opinion? If the Lord is God, serve him wholeheartedly. And if Baal, then serve Baal. Glory to God. But you can't have the two of them. Because the Lord will not share. He's a jealous God. He's a God of covenants. Glory to God, my Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so the Lord is hostile against every single force that would rise up to destroy the covenant relationship that he forms with us. Even us in the process, if we insist on going astray. So the Lord is calling us to discipleship. He's calling us to commitment of ourselves to him. He's calling us to once and for all decide, yes, I want God. He's calling us away from church membership into holy communion with himself. Hallelujah. He's calling us away from the title New Testament Church of God. He's calling us into intimacy with himself. He wants us to have communion with him. Because quite often we are content to be New Testament Church of God members and not pursuing discipleship in Christ. We are content to be a member of that church and this church, but are not seeing the bigger picture and pursuing the things that are of greater value. Discipleship to Christ. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, we have to make a choice. It costs. Discipleship don't come cheap. It costs the loss of self. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. Let him no longer give him or herself any rightful place. Let him no longer give him or herself any status of stardom. But let him deny himself. Let him count himself worthless. Let him take up his cross. Let him come and find his importance and significance in me and in my kingdom. Come and find your prestige in my kingdom. Come and find your prestige in my name. I was sharing this with Maxine some time ago. And the problem yesterday came up in discussion again. Because Joel, we were in the car, we were talking about marriage and covenant and taking on names. And that is why when a woman marries a man, the woman loses her last name and takes on the man's last name. We're showing that she's going into a covenant and she's going under the man's authority. That's what it means. But nowadays, you know, so may I keep my maiden name and may I take fear too. I will maintain myself, but me want me individuality, but me want your protection anyhow. That's what it means. So it happened in the world, and it's in the big in our church now. Well, we're going to have double barrel surname. Oh, it's fashionable. It's demonic. It's a double-headed beast. What it's actually saying is that you have not surrendered yourself to the authority of your husband. That's what taking the name means. So it's fashionable. So everything in the world, I do we want it to. I'm going to maintain my name. We can't maintain our individuality and our personal identity when we come into the covenant with somebody else. We lose it. And that's what discipleship means.
we lose ourselves and we find it, Lord, in thee. So I said, Joel, that's what, so I was saying, so does that mean that I'm Joel Ricardo Jesus? Some say same way. Me say same way. So you're going to lose for your last name and you take on Jesus' name. So you're Joel Ricardo Jesus. That's what it means. It means coming under Jesus' authority, giving him that right. So when they call your name no more, they don't say Maxine Brown, it's a Maxine Mullins. Because a statement of fact that she's under the authority of her husband, Mr. Mullins. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And a poor hour, she's blessed. That's a rich Maxine. Glory to God. Because every ounce of unction and anointing that God put upon me, come over her. Every thread of blessing, come over her. Glory to God. But some people want that, but they want to hold on to the old one. See away. So the Lord called us to discipleship. Breaking commitment. My sister's minister this morning, talking about this season, this time, and Jesus' agenda, and the whole structure of it, whereby it is the ending of one and the beginning of something new. Because it's death representing the ending of an era, the ending of a dispensation, and the commencement of a new one, of a new covenant. Time of blessing. Where are we going? What are we going to do? The Lord calls us to discipleship. So we need to make that choice. We need to make that decision. Will we remain in friendship with the world while trying to hold onto Jesus' hand? It won't work. We have to make a direct break. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me, please. Father God, we thank you for your mercies and your grace. Thank you for your call into discipleship, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for the willingness.